Let's now understand about the organization of human resources department in hospitals. How we are going to organize this department in hospital? The learning objectives of this chapter are human resources in the organization, policies in HRM. Various kinds of HR policies are to be formulated in any organization, including hospitals. Maybe it's a leave policy, it is performance appraisal policy, it is salary, wage and salary policy, it can be employee welfare policy, it can be various kinds of policies. Then line and staff relationship and autonomy. Let's understand whether the HR function is a line function or a staff function, or it can be combination, and what is the authority given to HR managers in the hospitals. Human resource in the hospital, if we see, the human resource head usually reports to the top person of the hospital, that is medical director or CEO, chief executive officer of the hospital. That is preferable. In some of the hospitals, however, the HR head reports to the next person, and that is COO, that is chief operating officer. But there are some disadvantages to that. So preferably it should be chief executive officer or the medical director of the hospital, the HR head should be reporting. Now, as the hospitals are becoming bigger and bigger, more and more number of beds are added, more and more new services are added in the hospital, especially in today's world of more of tertiary care hospitals and super speciality hospitals and all, the number of employees are increasing in a hospital, and hence to manage these employees also becomes a more and more difficult challenge, and we need better qualified and better HR managers to look after that, and it is becoming more complex in modern times. What are the various symptoms which tell us that we need a separate HR manager for a hospital? In fact, earlier days when the hospitals began, and for many years later also, most of the hospitals were comparatively of a smaller size, and the hospital head used to manage most of the people management also. There were no separate HR manager for a hospital. But over a period of time, when the hospitals became increasing in size, the number of employees in the hospitals began increasing in numbers, and it was not possible for the head of the hospital or administrator of the hospital to manage all these employees, and that has led to deterioration of the services of the hospital and led to multiple problems for that. Let's understand what are the symptoms which tell us that this is a hospital where you need a separate HR manager to look after this people management. These symptoms can be: one is poor selection of employees. When after selection these employees are not performing well, you feel that what we have expected from these new employees, their performance appraisal when we do, we are not happy with the performance that they are showing. Or there is a disgruntlement among the patients when they, you get lot of complaints regarding these employees from the co-employees or from the relatives of the patient or from the patients themselves. Then if there is a high staff turnover, when the employees are not satisfied with the job and many of them resign and go to some other hospital or to some other organizations or healthcare management organizations, you feel that there is something wrong going on in the hospital and you need a separate HR manager to look after these problems. When you know that the sickness absenteeism of your own employees is increasing day by day, that means there is some stress among the employees, there is some problem among the employees which is leading to physical and mental symptoms and which is leading to probably increased sickness absenteeism, and then also you feel that you should have a separate man, separate expert, HR manager to manage this. If the grievances are increasing day by day from the patients, from the employees, from the relatives of the patients, then it means that you need a separate HR person to look after all this and to redress these grievances. If the efficiency of people goes down, the amount of work which is expected to be done by your employees is inadequate, and there is a delay in everything going on, and the quality of the service is the health outcomes of your patients are being affected by that, which means that you need a separate person to look after this. And if there are lack of adequate employee records, thereby you are not able to know which are the employees who are working for you, how many number of employees are resigning, how many number of employees you need more, and if you don't know exactly what's happening in your own organization, it becomes difficult to manage this, because then suddenly there is a scarcity of staff and the quality of services in the hospital are adversely affected. If there are no well-known HR policies to guide you and the other managers to look after all the services of the hospital, then it becomes difficult, because HR policies are very important for any organization, and hence if there are absence of HR policies, means that you need a separate HR manager to look after your hospital, so that smooth functioning of this hospital will occur. There will be more efficiency and effectiveness of your employees, and your quality of services will improve, and your patient satisfaction will improve. Hospital having 200 or more employees definitely need a full-time HR manager for staff function. As we know, for management, staffing is one of the important aspects: planning, organizing, staffing, directing, leading, controlling. If there are 200 or more employees, definitely you need a separate specialist expert, that is HR manager, for your hospital to look after people management and staffing. Let's understand what are the characteristics of the employees in your hospital. Well, in an internal organization, if we see, line function is within the department. So HR manager is going to have a line function within the department, that is, it's going to take care of all the executives in HR, all the subordinates in HR department, and the above down or top to down communication will be there. The scalar chain will be followed. The orders will be given to their subordinates to look after certain functions like training and development separately, or payroll, or wage and salary administration, or employee welfare, or whatever. So here we have got a line function, while the overall major function of HR is going to help the other line managers, say HODs of the hospital, administrator, nursing administrator, all of them, HR person, HR manager is going to help by giving them advice, support, guidance, etc. So it's more of a staff function for various hospital departments. Now, what are the advantages of this HR managers in hospital, and this is how it characterizes the HR functions. One is ability to replace personnel with minimal loss. Whenever somebody dies, some employee dies, or somebody resigns, or somebody is going to retire, you will have to replace that person by another equally competent, skilled employee who can take over the functions of this person smoothly, and your services should not be hampered or jeopardized. For that, the HR manager should be competent enough to be ready with the newly competent person to replace that person. So ability to replace personnel with minimal loss, there should not be any loss of time, loss of money, or any jeopardization of the quality of services. capacity to solve personal problems. There are multiple employees working for hospital, and there are likely to be some personal problems in the interpersonal relationships or in the team or for some of the other problems that may come across, mental problems as well. And the HR person, HR manager, should be competent enough to tackle those personal problems and redress their grievances if at all they are there. There should be clear understanding with line and staff departments, and their objectives should be totally clearly defined. HR manager should know what are his functions or his or her functions, whether it's a line function naturally that is within the department only, and major function is staff function for other line managers, where he should know where is his limit. He can support them, he can advise them, he can guide them, he can give them some expertise required, but he cannot dictate them that this is what they have to do. So he should know his limitations. At the same time, he should be open and he should be ready to help them whenever help is sought for, or whenever he feels something is going wrong and needs some intervention whereby he can tell them about the problems and how to solve them. So there should be clear definition of line function or staff function and how it should be operated, so that the line people, line managers, should not feel that their authority and their functioning is being hampered by the HR manager unnecessarily. Planning in HR, various programs of personnel work should be tied to hospital goals. Now, whatever programs are organized for the hospital employees, they should be such, whether it is a training program, whether it is a new skill acquisition program, whether it is cultural program, whether it is value building, development of mission or vision for the hospital, whatever kind of programs the HR manager is going to devise and develop, it should be in line with the goals of the hospital, and it should lead to improvement in the efficiency of the employees and effectivity of the employees, leading to better services to the patients at large. Now, what is the philosophy in HR? It is selecting highly competent employees and suitable personnel to different positions in hospital, whatever vacancies are there on hospital, whether it is a medical, paramedical, technical side, engineer, maintenance side, dietetics, or dietitian, canteen, whatever kind of vacancies are available in the hospital, they have to be filled up with the highly competent people in that field, and that should be found out by HR manager. And directing and controlling, as well as the way they are behaving, there should be some flexibility. They should not be very rigid about rules and regulations of the hospital. If required, even the wage and salary administration can be made little flexible as per the need of that employee, provided you are getting the highly competent person to work for you. The objectives of HR should be within the framework of hospital policies and services, as well as efficiency and effectiveness of all the employees should be ensured, so that the hospital services will be of high quality services and the health outcome of the patients will be really extremely good. So overall, let's understand what are the objectives of HR manager in a hospital. One is recruiting best available human resources for the hospital, because it's a very important service the employees are providing in a hospital for the society. They should be able to evaluate the potential of the employee and give the right employees the promotion, so that they can justify why the promotion is given to them, so that the other employees are also not disgruntled about that, so that the clear policy should be there on what basis the promotions are given, and purely merit base should be there as far as possible, or whatever guidelines the policies have been developed and communicated to all well in advance should be followed in letter and spirit. No bias should be there. Ensuring reasonably good working conditions for all the employees of the hospital so that their safety is taken care of. People are not going to suffer from any heat hazard, cold hazard, radiation hazard or any noise hazard, as well as any chemicals splash and other things, or any of the biological hazards which are important in hospital. So all the employees should be trained in taking care of themselves. They should be provided with the right kind of personal protective equipment and universal precautions to be taken so that people are not going to be adversely affected by these biological hazards, because they are exposed to blood, urine, sweat, stool, etc., or body fluids which may contain microorganisms which may be harmful to us, to the employees. Based on the qualification, expertise, the amount of work done, the working conditions in which these employees are working, the HR manager should develop proper job evaluation and job classification, and accordingly develop adequate and fair remuneration to these employees so that they are satisfied. They should be motivated periodically. They should be inspired to work so that they get job satisfaction, and then they work, they go out of the way to help the patients, and ultimately the objectives of the organization can be achieved. So high motivation is required for that. Now let's understand the characteristics of HR in hospital. Under that we learn what are the various tools the HR department will need. It will need a proper office with various equipments. These can be in the form of some furniture like filing cabinets where all the employee records can be kept secured with proper lock and key so that confidentiality can be maintained. They should have the latest computers with all the latest programs in that. They should have scanner, printer, electronic clock, Xerox machine, telephone, intercom, whereby they can contact each other or any of the other departmental people, line managers and line people as well, for giving their advice, for informing them, for communicating certain things, as well as outside also they need to be in touch with various liaisoning work, whereby they need to be in touch with inspectors, factory inspectors and the BMC, government authorities, etc., for statutory requirement, for knowledge about the latest equipments that are there, for developing the liaisoning with certain people so that they are useful for the hospital services, for communicating various things to the public, for some communicable diseases or the new services that they have developed, or so many things it can be required. Then they should have proper filing cabinets for personnel records, and they should enter each and every detail in the personnel record regarding the date of joining, name, age, sex, the date of becoming permanent, the promotion, appreciation, whatever are there in the personnel record, they should properly enter it periodically and keep them up to date. Personnel policies regarding various services in the hospital, regarding leave, regarding wage and salary, regarding gratuity, pension, regarding travel, regarding canteen, and so on and so forth. So many personnel policies are there which they should have the hard copies ready whenever somebody needs it. Access to information should be there. It should not be kept so confidential that the people who require that kind of information also, it is kept confidential from them. It's not like that. Those who require and those who are eligible to get that information, they should be having proper access to all that information regarding personal policies and other things. location, if we see, it should be centrally located, and it should, there should be easy reach to each department if they want to contact them for any advice, for any support. Particularly, it should be close to nursing service director as well as hospital administrator, because these are the two people with whom HR is going to interact very frequently. There should be proper human resource inventory, where one should have detailed information about each and every employee of the hospital, so they should know how many number of employees the hospital is having, in what age groups they are having, sex group they are having, what kind of competencies they are having, their name, designation, in which department they are working, who is the immediate supervisor to this person, where is the location of the job of this person in the hospital, who are dependents on them, address with cell number of each and every employee, their date of joining, their promotion, salary, pay scale, date of last salary increase, their hobbies, their competencies, their family background, etc., etc. All these detailed records they should be having in the human resource inventory, so that any time when their superior, say medical director, asks them, what is the total number of employees we are having? What is the total number of employees we are having between the age group of, say, 30 to 40, or between the age group of 50 to 60? What are the number of people who are likely to retire in the next month? Whatever information anybody in the hospital needs, who is eligible to get that information, the HR manager should be able to give that, and hence he should have a thorough human resource inventory. And for development of various reports for the statutory requirement or for any political requirement also, he should be ready with that anytime. How the human resource inventory is going to help us? It will help to give us the overall picture of the personnel situation in our hospital. That means how many male employees are there, how many females are there, what is usually the age group, how many doctors are there, how many paramedical staff in the form of lab technicians are there, how many X-ray technicians are there, how many ECG technicians are there, how many EEG technicians are there. Based on the type of services you are providing, you should have overall picture of the personnel situation. You should have employee turnover data analysis, whereby you can say that overall, say 10% of employees are usually going out of the hospital every year, or is it 15%, is it 5%? So employee turnover gives us an idea whether people are having job satisfaction or not, or whether there are some grievances whereby people are leaving your organization. It should be able to give you the information of number and types of jobs in existence. That means what are the number of jobs available and what are the types of jobs that are there in your hospital. It gives the number of employees reporting to each supervisor. That means each and every supervisor is managing how many subordinates one should be able to tell with the hospital HR inventory. And what are the salary schedules? That also can be easily seen. Then one should have clear-cut idea about the seniority list of all the employees and what are their hobbies. One should be able to determine areas where short-term employment is needed and effect of transport facilities on employment. Suppose you see there are certain problems which are seasonal, in which case only for that season you may require more number of employees, and hence it's a short-term requirement. Then you can keep some people on contract for that. So you should be able to tell from the inventory which are the areas where you will need short-term employment and how to get that. Now, why you need to keep the human records or your employees' records? One is individual departments. One should know at every individual department how many number of employees are there based on the functions they are performing. Because usually the individual departments do not keep the HR records with them, it is always with HR department, because the government agencies may ask for various records whenever the factory inspector or the dish or the statutory expert for that statutory requirement, government agencies may come and ask you regarding various records. So for that, HR manager should be ready with that. And based on these records, in fact, even the payroll is prepared, because these records give us an idea how many number of people are there, at what salary they are having, what is their month of increment, what are the number of days he has remained absent without leave, and all those records will tell what kind of salary should be given to that person. Then we can always find out from these records, based on the qualification of the person, based on the type of job he is doing, what are the training assessment needs are there, and how many training programs that person has attended. And if you have got a policy that every employee in the hospital should undergo at least 4 days of training or 2 days of training in a year, then whether that person has undergone that or not, that can be found out from the employee records that are kept in HR department. It also helps us in deciding about the promotions, because when you have got the performance appraisal of the person for the past 3 years, when he was promoted last time, and what is the performance of that person, whether he is excellent in all 3 years with the rating of that person excellent, as well as he's got potential for promotion based on his functioning, based on his achievements that are there, which the records you are having, you can decide about the promotion of that person, as well as based on where he is staying, based on when he's got married or she's got married, whether the husband is staying out of that state or out of that city, whether it is likely that that woman would like to go and stay with the husband after marriage, which is a natural thing. And in that case, if you have got another office in that particular city where her husband is staying, then it is easy for you to transfer that person there. And if somebody else has been asking for transfer from that city to your city, it's easy for mutual transfer as well. So all that can be found out from the records. There are certain permanent records which are concerned with employees, which should be kept with you, regarding unauthorized absence, regarding misconduct, regarding punishment, regarding loans, regarding his date of joining, regarding his date of promotion, when he become permanent, when his initial period, what was the performance rating, and all performance rating throughout his service. And there are so many things which are required to be kept permanently. Permanent records concerned with position, that's at what position he is working at the beginning, at various intervals after promotion, at what all positions he has worked. Job analysis, which gives us the job description and job specification. Then job classification, what all groups of jobs you are having in the hospital, which are similar in a way. And say, the ECG technician, EEG technician, lab technician probably can be having a similar kind of skills, maybe the same kind of qualification they are having, only in different fields. So they can be grouped under one class, and this is how they can be paid more or less similarly. So job classification helps you. Then job evaluation should be done to find out the different classes of jobs based on the various factors to be taken into consideration, like working conditions, the amount of efforts to be put in, which are physical and mental, the amount of responsibility and accountability that person is going to be dealing with, all that thing based on the factors, based on their weightage given, one can have proper job evaluation, and this will help us in finalizing their salary in your wage and salary administration. And human resource planning also is important function, which we'll be seeing in the next chapter, which is also important to keep all the records regarding manpower planning. Well, in advance we are going to plan how many number of people of what quality, what qualifications you need to employ, or what are the development records which are needed to be kept, so that you know that these are the competencies we want to develop in them based on our strategic planning and all. So all those records will be helpful as a permanent inventory. Then there are certain forms which become permanent record, these are requisition for new employees. So whenever any department has sent the requisition slip to the HR department that we want new employee to be employed within 2 months or within a month or so, based on the latent period normally which is taken by that hospital HR people based on their work, so you should keep that with you permanently. Then job application forms, medical fitness form, any employee who was declared medically fit to work for that job, that has to be permanently kept with you. Employee probationary rating form, that means what was the rating of this person when he was on probation and then he was made permanent, that form has to be kept permanently. Employee annual rating form, annual performance appraisal is done and rating is done, that also has to be kept permanently. Then there are certain temporary forms like introduction slips when you are introducing somebody, meal passes which is only for that meal or for 1 month and so, then leave records which can be kept for 3 years, attendance records which can be maintained for 3 years and then discarded, permission to visit the health clinic which has been given, so gate pass and all can be temporary records which can be discarded later. Now let's understand about human resource policies. What's a policy? These are a general guidelines which should be formulated in written form so that anybody can refer to them and it will help them in deciding certain things within these guidelines given, right? So these are the principles, rules, regulations which establish working conditions and hospital administration. The principles are like justice, human need, democratic approach one has to take while deciding the under certain principles the hospital will be working. The aim of human resource policies will be to develop effective system of communication. How any important matter will be communicated, whether it will be top down, down to up or through the HOD and then to the next supervisor and that way, or it will be horizontal or circular or whatever, or one common meeting will be called in the big hall and everybody will be informed. So that kind of effective system of communication should be developed. Maximum utilization of the existing HR can be done when proper human resource policies have been developed and circulated and communicated. It will lead to maximum employee satisfaction when they know exactly what is expected out of them, what are the various policies under which they are supposed to work, for leave, for pension, for their duty, for various things in day-to-day practice and for long-term, the recruitment policy, selection policy, the son of the soil policy, whatever they are, if people know well about it, then they can make use of that for their relatives, friends, etc. also if required, and that's how it will lead to maximum employee satisfaction. There is no secrecy kept and then no discrimination is there based on individual to individual basis there, and it will help in employee development. If you have got the clear cut policy of career development, succession planning and all, then it will help for that. Creating organization structure, encouraging employee participation. If you are having policy whereby you are creating such organization structure whereby you are inculcating confidence, inspiring the employees to take part in management, so employee participation in management is a very important aspect which will lead to higher satisfaction level among the employees, and this kind of policies should be there. The advantages are this will lead to consistency of decisions taken by anybody in future also, because they are going to take the decisions within the guidelines given under these policies, and by that what will happen, there won't be any individual variations while deciding about certain things, rather it will be commonly done by everybody under the same guidelines, and that's why they are going to be fair. There is not going to be any discrimination towards anybody. It will lead to control over the line managers, because the line managers are supposed to follow these policies, and under these guidelines only they are supposed to work. That's why it will bring control over the line managers. They can't just fire anybody just like that, because once that person has behaved slightly rudely, it can't be done. There has to be some policy guideline regarding the dismissal of a person, that if there is a major act of commission or omission which has been detailed in the Standing Order Act, which has been displayed in the vernacular language where the workers know exactly what it means, and even the supervisors and managers know what it means, that under these circumstances only a person can be fired instantaneously where it's a major kind of moral indiscipline or something, which is delineated clearly in the Standing Order Act. Otherwise, there's a procedure laid down that one has to give warning, charge sheet, written reply, departmental inquiry, and proper grievance redressal forum also should be there, and he should be given a chance to defend himself under the principle of natural justice. So this will lead to control over line managers. This will lead to avoidance of repeated analysis of the same types of problems